Anyway, nice things and nice for our chef to bring out a nice steak meal for them.
Oh, yes.
So that was good.
Oh, yes.
And then we did something else we've never done before. We had a Seder dinner at the Senior Center. And we worked in with Temple Beth Ami and they and Rabbi Glazer. And we had a nice time. 140 people came for in Bella Vita that night to have a Seder dinner. And I had only been to a couple in my entire lifetime. And it was just so wonderful to sit back and see it and enjoy it. And with all the different foods and everything else. So we had a nice evening there. So we hope to do that again next year. And what they also did, the temple, they provided 75 meals for home-delivered meals people the next morning, a Seder meal.
Really?
For 75 folks on our that are on our Meals on Wheels routes.
That's
so
wonderful.
Yeah, just a nice gift and something different for us. And nice sharing the community and all different facets of the community coming together.
Well, that was
for
nice
Passover.
Surprise, wasn't it?
It was. It was. We had done a little bit in the last few years through our drive-through, but this time we wanted to have the regular Seder dinner, and that's what we had at Bella Vita. So lots of different things go on there that we don't expect.
That's terrific. Well, you know, you have a beautiful place up there. Absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it was okay down below, you know, where we had it in downtown Newhall because it was county owned, but it was getting old,
mm-hmm.
and things were, you know, they weren't like they should have been. But up here on the hill, oh, it's magnificent up there. Absolutely magnificent.
It really is. We are very fortunate. You know, we're celebrating next week is an anniversary or birthday, as you could call it. 4 years at since Bella Vita opened.
4 years?
4 years.
You've got to be kidding me. It's been that long?
It's been that long.
Holy cow.
4 years because we started raising funds in 2015.
Yes.
We raised all the funds by 2018. And then we started building in 2018. And then we opened in April of 2019. After we put the $11 million together, and we remind everybody, part of it came from our wonderful city, part of it came from our county,
yes.
and then the rest came from the community and corporations and foundations. So it was really three different groups
That's
committed
amazing.
To making a brand new senior center, and we're so grateful that they did come together to make this, you know, make this all happen for us. And I remember the opening day in April of 2019, and we had like 600 or 700 people in,
yes.
in the ballroom, standing room only, to celebrate new beginnings for the Santa Clarita Valley and for seniors. And it's been a whirlwind 4 years, I can tell you that.
I can't believe it's been 4 years. Yeah. Boy, time has a way of just flying away.
It does. Well, you know, when we opened, we weren't sure what we were going to walk into and if people were going to come over from Market Street, where we used to be, for lunch. And then it was clear from the first day they were coming over for lunch.
One way or the other.
Yes. So they started coming for lunch. And then we were open for 10 months until COVID hit. And then we closed down the insides, except for the staff, for a couple of years, but still did all the meals. So we didn't miss a meal. And then we reopened again. And we've opened again to crowds that are even bigger than opening day crowds right now, with the parking lot full and the drive-through and everything else going on, and all the classes are full. So it's really a wonderful time as we experience some unprecedented growth. And thankfully, we have a beautiful building and a parking lot, and we still have that wonderful support from the city, the county, and the community that makes the world go around for a private nonprofit trying to make it happen.
Well, you know, we have a large number of seniors up here in the Santa Clarita Valley. We really do. And as we're getting older, there are more of us.
Right, right. And you know, it's nice when you say there's more seniors in the Santa Clarita Valley and there isn't throughout the country. But we're seeing 10 to 15 new people come in every day from off the streets or from word of mouth, and they're coming to sign up. So I see them every day. We're passing people that are new to us. And 10 to 15 a day is a lot because it adds up.
Oh, yeah. It
and
really
we're just,
does.
And they're just welcomed by Amy, who's one of our great staff members, who welcomes them and gets them signed up. If they want a meal, they sign them up. If they want to get involved with classes, they can get signed up for those. And I have, you know, I have sons and daughters bringing their moms and dads in and saying, we're just looking for someplace to go during the day. And because we have that resource. So you're right, it's growing, and the senior population's growing, so we're trying to keep up as much as we can.
Well, that that's incredible, because like I said, more of us are getting older. There are so many seniors, mm-hmm. you know, there really are. And I think, who wants to raise the senior age limit?
I don't know.
Somebody somebody in some one of the states or several states wants to raise it to 64 or something.
Okay. Well, whatever they want to do, we're okay right here.
As long
we're
as
okay.
they're seniors.
We're going to serve them, and we really don't check your ID at the door. No. Except for lunch, we got to check your ID. But other activities, we don't check your ID. It's okay whatever age you are to use our services. So.
Now, we have something coming up that's really, really important.
It really is. It really is. And it's our main fundraising event of the year. And it's exciting. And it's called the Celebrity Waiter Event is Springtime in Paris, if you could relate to or not relate to.
I absolutely can relate to that. On my 75th birthday, I think I told you, I climbed the Eiffel Tower step by step. And my husband at the time said, "You're going to pay to climb the Eiffel Tower?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'll see you up there. I'm taking the elevator." And when I got there, 642 steps.
Wow.
When I got there, he said, "What took you so long?"
Oh, gee. but you did it.
Yeah, I did it. And it was a unique experience because every level you can stop at and look around.
Okay.
Because it stopped. The levels were all around the actual tower.
Right.
And you could see all over the place.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was an incredible experience. It really was. And I totally urge anyone who goes to Paris to get up on climb the Eiffel Tower.
Okay. Well, if you go to Celebrity Waiter, you may have a chance to go to Paris. Because, of course, at our big fundraising event is a live auction item, which includes a trip to Paris.
Oh, whoa.
And access to the Eiffel Tower. So do what Barbara did when she was 75 and climb that tower, and we'll get you tickets and set you all up. But
it's an incredible experience, and I urge everyone to bid on that trip.
There you go.
Yeah, if you've got the money, bid on it, please, because you will not regret it. Paris is a beautiful city.
And we're going to try to recreate that a little bit. You can't climb Eiffel Tower. That'll be there that day because it's just a replica. But the community's coming together, Barbara, and we're happy to announce we're basically sold out. We have 30 different sponsors. 30 sponsors coming together to support the senior community, and we're thrilled. I can't name all of them on air, but we're just thrilled that the corporations and the families have come together and say, no, we want to support the senior center this one time a year, which is our fundraising dinner. So we have 33 tables sold and done with, and we're still a week and a half away, and then we're going to make it a magical night, which is our goal. We have a great band coming in, which is a French jazz band with a harpist playing and a saxophone and a bass player and a drummer.
Oh, my
and they're going to be playing for us throughout the evening and airing that. You know, it's going to be, we're going to make it a little bit like Paris, a night
That's
in Paris.
Okay. Now, are you going to have Parisian food?
Yes, we are. We have our executive chefs from Bella Vita are doing. Our whole team said we want to serve your meal this year. So our executive chef Cindy Smith and Marco Rios and the entire team is coming together. All of our staff are going to be working that day to provide wonderful desserts, appetizers, and that main course that they will surprise you with.
Oh, that is fantastic!
So, if anyone still wants us,
springtime
in Paris. If you still want to support us, give us a call. We can probably squeak in a few more individuals to get into some seats.
My daughter ordered 3 seats.
I know we got your 3 seats ready for you.
Good, good.
And get ready for that live auction for a trip to Paris, balloon rides, wine tasting, and so much more. For a fun night.
The balloon rides are terrific. I've also done those, too.
Yes.
And I bought it at the Celebrity Waiter dinner several years ago.
Okay. So, yes.
But a balloon ride, oh, my goodness. Well, it's unbelievable. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're going to ask me the question of who are the Celebrity Waiters this year, Kevin?
Who are the Celebrity Waiters?
Some of our volunteers. We want to honor once again, and they'll be delivering desserts to some of our tables.
Oh, that's
so we
terrific.
Have 16 volunteers as part of our mission, and we want our volunteers to come out almost every day to support our seniors. And there are true celebrities this year, if there ever was one. So they'll be seated, and we'll give them a special round of applause to them tonight to thank them. And they will be our waiters serving dessert.
Terrific. Oh, it's going to be a fun night.
So that's Saturday, April 29th.
Yes,
call the Senior Center for
it.
More information or to get some last-minute tickets. We'll squeeze you in.
Yes.
And we're excited because, you know, I've told you before, we have to raise almost $1 million a year to break even. We say things are free at the senior center. They're not free.
No, they're not
free. And as a private organization, we have to raise those funds to keep the food lines going, to keep the classes going and everything else. And this is the one time of year.
This is one way to do it.
That's a fun way to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Springtime in Paris. I'm so looking forward to it. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. 5 p.m. reception and the 6 p.m. the program. And it's going to be outside.
Outside.
Let's hope the weather is great.
The weather will be fine. And if it isn't, we have a grand ballroom to go to.
Oh, yes.
So we'll be ready for anything. And we have great co-chairs this year. Bonnie Tieford and Melanie Meyer are our co-chairs. Brian Kegley's our MC.
Yes.
Ed Masterson is back. He's at our auctioneer.
So we got
the community coming to hang out with us and have a good time that night.
The old timers.
They're
yes.
back.
Oh, my goodness. That is fantastic. Yes. Springtime in Paris. Oh, my goodness. And that's when I was there. No, it wasn't. It was in the fall.
Okay.
Because well, my birthday is in October.
Okay. We'll have lots of flowers out there. You'll feel like it's springtime in Paris for you.
That is fantastic. April 29th. Wow, springtime in Paris. So, let's get back to what else is going on.
Can I get back? Because we're going to honor our volunteers that day. But we also honor our volunteers through the wonderful program called, as you know, as a former member, Man and Woman of the Year program. And we put up two nominees this year, and we just want to highlight them. And that's Dr. Chris Avellino, and he's with Facey Medical Group. He's a VP, and he helped me get through COVID. And all of our staff as our free consultant to serve us and help us get through COVID. Dr. Avellino. Our other nominee is Jackie Hartman. And, of course, Jackie Hartman is the mother of the drive-through service because she helped.
She's the mother of a lot.
Yes, she
at the senior center. She really is.
She is. And she helped us get the drive-through going, and she worked the drive-through for almost 3 years straight, almost every day out there, cheering on. So we're honoring Jackie Hartman this year and Dr. Avellino this year for all they do to support us because with 200 volunteers, a lot of people doing a lot of things.
Oh, yes.
And we could not run this
without
place.
Volunteers. Without volunteers.
Yeah. No, they're so valuable. You know the Meals on Wheels volunteers because Jackie's husband, Tom, and daughter, Carrie, both do Meals on Wheels during the week. So the whole family is involved, and we're just happy to honor them a little bit this year.
That is fantastic. Well, it's going to be a beautiful event. Mm-hmm. It really is. And let's pray for good weather. Don't rain.
That's
please
right.
Don't rain.
So we'll
but
be
even if it does, we will still have a beautiful time inside.
There you go.
Because it's gorgeous inside too. So, oh my goodness.
And we have a few more things coming up. We have Family Caregiver Resource Day, which is May 10th, which we open the doors from 10:30 to 2:30 on that day to give resources to family caregivers to make sure they have every possible resource they could imagine. And it's a program put on with lots of support from all of our community partners. We just happen to have it at Bella Vita. Fritz Coleman's coming to speak to us from Channel 4. And one of the ladies who's head of the Alzheimer's Association, she's coming up to speak. And lots of people, lots of tables of vendors saying, how can we support the family caregiver? And what a great people to support is those who are caring for our seniors and caring for others. And this is a kind of a day to give them everything they need. So we're excited about that on May 10th.
That's terrific. I have a son and daughter who stay with me.
Right.
Because they don't want me to be by myself.
That's wonderful. Know?
It is. It's fantastic. And I also get some of the meals also, and they are delicious.
Good.
Oh, my goodness.
Good. And today you're going to get your garlic and fresh herb turkey breast today.
Yes.
So
yes,
when you get home, you'll get that.
Okay. That sounds terrific. Oh, my goodness.
So.
I guess we need to take a break, don't we? 3 more minutes? Oh, let's chat 3 more minutes.
Oh, we got things going on, Barbara. We got our summer concert series is starting back up again, so we're excited about that. We do concerts probably 10 months a year. So
that'll be outside.
That'll be outside.
Yes.
Rod Stewart, or the cover band for Rod Stewart, it's called Rod the Mod, is coming May 6th. That'll sell out very soon. It'll sell out this week. We usually have 300 people come out for our summer concert series in our courtyard. We have a Linda Ronstadt cover band coming in June, and then a Frankie Valli in July. We got John Denver coming. We got the Beach Boys coming. We're rocking out at Bella Vita. This will break over 230 events of outdoor events for seniors to come with their families. It's not just for seniors. It's for the families to come with
them. That's right.
And we're still only charging $5. That's going to go up a little bit. But it's a nice evening out with
but
some.
That's a cheap night.
Yes, but a great music for an hour and a half. And some appetizers and things like that. So it's really a family thing to come together. And if you haven't experienced in our courtyard, every seat's a good seat.
Oh, it is. I know. I've been there.
Parking is not a problem.
Nope.
So we're excited about that. And then we've expanded our class offerings. So now we're up to 30 different classes offered at the Senior Center.
Oh,
30.
30.
30 different classes.
30.
Yes. So you're going to be busy if you want to be busy.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. And it's all kinds, isn't it?
Yes, it's all kinds. And
okay, name a few of them.
Oh, you got your Tai Chi, you got your Zumba, you got the different card groups going on. You do have the fitness center in there, the billiards room going on, different art classes, 3 different art classes. So,
and you have bingo.
And bingo's going to restart. We're going to start this summer.
Good, good.
So we're excited. We're excited about the future of Bella Vita as we celebrate 4 years and growing and growing.
4 years. I can't believe that. 4 years. My goodness. Doesn't seem possible. I mean, like I said before, time flies, doesn't it?
Time flies.
When you're having fun.
And we're having a good time at Bella Vita, so come on by again.
Sounds wonderful. Well, I think we need to take a little break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Kevin McDonald, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS.
I'm 64.
Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Kevin McDonald, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. And our guest now is the one and only Miles McNamara, one of our sponsors. How are you doing, kiddo?
I'm well. How are you all today?
Doing great. Okay, what are we talking about as far as Comfort Keepers is concerned?
Well, like I was talking about with Kevin before we came on, I always like to just start off with folks who aren't familiar with home care, what non-medical home care is, because I've mentioned it before that, you know, I run into people all the time that says, oh my goodness, if I only knew about you when mom was still alive, or, you know,
yes.
You know, if I knew about you when. And so we just try to get, even though, you know, home care has been around for over 20 years now, it's still a relatively new industry in the scope of things.
Yes, that's,
you know,
very true.
And a lot of times folks confuse this with home health, you know, where you get prescribed by your physician for a nurse or someone to come to your home and provide medical assistance in the home because you can't get to the hospital or maybe recuperative care, that type of thing. Whereas, you know, although we work with all those medical units like hospice and home health and palliative care, what have you, we're there as a personal assistant, if you will, for our seniors. We do all hands-on personal care, anything that doesn't take a medical license to do, our caregivers can do. That means making sure, which is the top reason folks go into the hospital, seniors, is mismanagement of their medications. So we make sure they take their meds on time, make sure they're eating nutritious meals, make sure they stay hydrated, especially during the dog days of summer. And then we can help them with personal care, in and out of the shower. Basically, if you're an adult child who's caring for a mom and dad, that's what we do for you, you know, so you now come, when you come visit, you can have quality time with your parents or your aging loved one and not be the chore master while you're there. I mean, I watched my mom do it, you know, as my grandmother aged and dementia started to set in, and before, you know, while she could still live somewhat independently, all my mom did was run over there, bang out that list of chores, you know, run to the store, you know, and she was always, you know, between, you know, work schedules or whatever. And she didn't just go and sit down and visit with my grandma and just, you know, enjoy the quality time and let our comfort keepers be the chore master. You know, so when the adult children come in, the loved one is fed and taking their meds, and they're just, and now you can just enjoy quality time.
Good family time.
Yeah. You know, because it's so, you know, so frustrating when, you know, yeah, I saw mom for 2 hours today. Did you? You know, no, you didn't. You did the laundry. You went to the store. Yeah, you helped her with the shower. You know, and then you maybe had 5 minutes to say, okay, love you, bye. You know, so that's what we are. We're non-medical, in-home care, and, you know, and basically a blanket statement that I like to use, that anything doesn't take a medical license to do, our comfort keepers can do. We've been around for over 20 years. I have an office here in Santa Clarita and another office in Encino. We will go out to Palmdale, so we will do Tri-Valley services. I have a lot of caregivers that live in Palmdale, actually. So that's basically what home care is.
Why did you start it? You said 2001 you all started, and what was your drive?
I mean, it had a lot to do with my experiences, as I mentioned earlier, right, with my mom, with my mom, grandma, and because home care wasn't around back then. Yes, you know, when my grandmother was, you know, aging, and it broke my mom's heart when we eventually had to put her into a nursing home because home care didn't exist. It did, but it was by unpaid family members, mm-hmm, as you well know. But, you know, Kevin, it was weird because I was in the entertainment industry and things were going decent. But I had two kids and it was like, okay, I should probably start a business. And it happened when I went to Wisconsin for a family reunion. And one of my uncles was in a key position for a home care company. I'm like, what the devil is a home care company? So he explained it to me and it was like, I know this sounds sappy and trite, but if you can make a living while helping people and providing independence for the seniors, and again, reflecting on my past, and so honestly, it was a good business opportunity, mm-hmm, and on the other side, you really get to help people.
Yes.
I know it sounds sappy and trite, but truly, it was,
trite.
You know, when you're looking for a business venture that has growth opportunity, our baby boomers are getting older, mm-hmm, you know, I can't remember the stat, but it's like triple or quadruple digits of folks turning 65 every day, mm-hmm, you know, and where do seniors want to stay? They want to stay in their own home.
Absolutely.
Now, sometimes folks choose an assisted living facility, that, you know, cruise ship on land type the atmosphere, but 99% they want to stay in their own homes. You know, and again, it's like my mom, and don't do this, folks, if you're an adult child, because you don't have a crystal ball and you can't see the future. And my mom did this, and it tore apart because she promised my grandma, "I'll never put you in a home." There's medical factors and stuff that come into play. You're not the almighty, so don't make, you know, predictions and promises you may not keep, because my grandmother, again, without the existence of home care, when the dementia really set in and her care needs really escalated and the medical byproducts started to happen, she didn't have a choice, and then so it just crushed her soul that she broke that promise. So don't make a promise that you don't know if you can keep, because, you know, medical issues get in the way, economics get in the way, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But the goal is, let's keep your folks at home as long as you can. And seniors call us themselves, and, you know, they're perfectly mentally healthy, but maybe physically they say, you know what, I need a helping hand around the house, you know, a couple days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they bring us in, which is rare, because I rarely meet a senior who needs help.
Right.
I mean, you know, so we get a lot of resistance. You know, and actually, we can get to it later if we have the time, but, you know, I have a thing we call the talk, you know, because you have to look down the road. That old cliche is, as far as people don't plan to fail, they just fail to plan. You know,
at some point
in our lives, we all think we're immortal. Mm-hmm. You know, we all think that it's, you know, onward and upward. But then, you know, father time kicks in and, you know, those golden years aren't what they promised. You know, you really should look down the road, having legal documents in place that I've talked about a lot. You know, have an advanced health care directive in place and a trust and an estate plan so that if something happens, God forbid, that your loved one can't speak for themselves. I think there's a law that may have passed by now, mm-hmm, if you can prove you're a family member, but I don't know. Do you remember that legislation, Kevin? I know it was up. I don't know if it passed.
I don't know if it passed either.
Yeah. So they are working on legislation that if you can prove you're a family member, which is sometimes more difficult than you think because you've, mm-hmm, got a maiden name and you're, right, from a different state. That's, and they're, right, like, yeah, right. And so anyway, you need to have documents in place to prove that too. But, you know, an advanced health care directive lets you speak on behalf of your loved one in the hospital if something happens and they can't speak on their own behalf, rather than not having that documentation and the doctor's giving you the hand and say, well, I can't really talk to you, so I'm going to make the decision. The state's going to make the decision. Whoever makes the decision, the most important factor is it's not you.
Right.
You know, so I have all that stuff in place. And then, so once that's in place, have a talk with your parents. Ask them, how do they see this progressing? Mm-hmm. What's that map look like for you? So that when things start to evolve, there's less, if not any, pushback because they've drawn the map. They've said, this is what I want to do. This is, you know, and then you financially start preparing for it. You emotionally start preparing for it. You know, and when you have that talk with your parents, sometimes the bigger talk, because I see it all the time, almost comes to fisticuff, is the siblings need to talk. You know, it's like, how many times have you had them standing out in the hallway of a hospital or somewhere else saying, well, this is what mom would have wanted. No, that's not what mom would have wanted. Well, why didn't you ask mom when you could?
Right.
You know, so plan ahead. And so, because when you have an advanced healthcare directive and you name an agent and a backup agent and even a third agent, to make those calls for you when it comes to your estate, when it comes to your healthcare decision. It doesn't have to be a son or daughter. It doesn't have to be a family member. It just has to be someone that you trust when push comes to shove, that they will follow your manifesto. Mm-hmm. Not say, well, you know, I don't want to do that. Let's right. do this. Because emotions emotions are huge. You know, sometimes you have to make a decision that you don't want to make, but it's what mom or dad put in their, you know, trust or their mm-hmm. advanced healthcare directive. And you just have to be prepared if you are a son or daughter who's named to that position, that you have the strength to follow that map. You know, don't be varying from it. Don't make a left when you should have made a right. Don't plow ahead with your personal, I think I've mentioned it on the show before, is you know, you've all heard of the golden rule. You know, mm-hmm. you know, treat others as, you know, they would want to be as you would like to be treated. But as I said, I didn't come up with it. I can't remember where I heard it, but there's something called the platinum rule, which is treat others how they want to be treated. Because they may not want to be treated the same way you want, or the right. decisions, or the whatever. So the platinum rule trumps the golden mm-hmm. rule, because it's like, yeah, treat people well. The golden rule still stands up very well. But the platinum rule, when mm-hmm. you're an adult child and you've got an advanced healthcare directive or whatever it is, the map, the whatever, is treat others as they mm-hmm. want to be treated.
And those conversations have to take place.
They do. And doing it before it's an issue, mm-hmm. when everybody's calm. You know, my mom, who I lost last year, I tried to walk the walk or walk the talk, however that goes.
Is
you know, she was living alone up in Northern California, and it was just a calm time. I was up there visiting, and we just started chatting, and she was talking about how she got lonely a lot, and so I just kind of started planting some seeds, you know, and asked her, you know, what her thoughts were on the cruise ship on land, you know, assisted living, that mm-hmm. what have you, and it was. And I'm not saying be manipulative, because you want to do what your loved ones want. But it was her idea as we continued the conversation. Right. You know, I think I would like an assisted living. You know, I'd be around folks my own age. We could play cards. We could play bingo. We could do whatever. You know, and so as that discussion evolved and mm-hmm. the time came, we seamlessly moved her into an assisted living facility, sold her home. You know, so she had the funds, you know, and my brother and sister and I were on the same page, because that sibling conversation happened mm-hmm. too. Because once I hit a little pay dirt, I called my brother and sister, hey, mom and I just talked about this and she's on board and blah, blah, blah. Right. So we started making plans that way, started looking for assisted livings in the area before she needed it. So we could calmly go and evaluate yeah. them and make our own judgment and, you know, pick the place that, you know, but we thought she'd like, platinum rule.
Right.
So then we took her to visit multiple ones. You know, it's not time yet, mom, but we talked about it. And, you know, you said this is, so let's have some choices before it becomes an mm-hmm. issue. And then she literally, at the end of the day, pulled the trigger on the decision.
Okay.
You know, I think it's time.
So you empowered her.
Yeah, I empowered her.
The last decision made for her under her power.
Exactly. You know, and she said, I think I'm ready. I'm having a hard time, you know, walking very on my own. I'm lonely. And it was her idea to mm-hmm. then take that map journey that she orchestrated.
Right.
You know, that's hugely important. And my brother and sister were in my ear, because I kept them, you know, abreast of the conversations and the progression. And, you know, and so it was actually.
So you did follow your own advice.
I did. I did, you know, and because, again, if you wait till the adverse event, the stroke, the heart attack, you know, dementia creeps up on you, and then all of a sudden you're arguing amongst your siblings, and, you know, and mom doesn't want to do this, or dad doesn't want to do that, but it's best for you. No, stop it.
Right.
Plan ahead. Have that conversation. It's kind of like they said to you, know, before, you know, because the advanced healthcare directives can map things out so thoroughly, even down to the music you want played at your services. I mean, whatever you want, you know. And so you've heard the story of, as you're making your map and your advanced healthcare directive, is go out and do, kind of sounds morbid, but we have to have these unpleasant conversations sometimes, is go out and pick your casket and all the accessories and urn, if you choose to be cremated, well before you need them. Because if you walk in there in tears, and I'm not being disrespectful to our wonderful, you know, mortuary folk, but if, you know, and they start throwing emotion sales at you, well, you want to bury mom in a box? You know, this is the better one.
Oh, yes, yeah, I've been through that.
Yeah. So again, make those decisions before emotion is your guide. You know, you're making a financial decision, you're making a preference decision, you know, and you're doing it without any pressure. You're not overwhelmed with grief or emotions. So have all that stuff mapped out before you need. It's like getting a map ready for your trip cross country.
Right.
You know, now we have GPS, we're all lazy. But I remember back in the day, I'd unfold that map and, you know, you knew exactly when and where. I'll gas up here, I got to switch freeways. And you had that map before you headed out. You know, rather than most of people go out and, where are we going? Right, you know, right. And they get lost.
Well, it's interesting because I have all of mine all taken care of. The plot, where it's going to be, everything's taken care of.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's too much for a son and a daughter and family members to absorb. It really is.
And talk about walking the walk is, think about how, I don't want to say easy because they've lost you, but how it won't be an issue of following your map. You've given them the map. You've
That's
given
it.
Them the direction. So,
they know exactly
so they can, they'll
what
deal
I
with,
want.
Right. So they'll deal with their grief, but they won't be making these decisions guided by emotions, guided by conflict, guided by whatever. It's all where it needs
the
to be.
The only problem they're going to have is deciding what to do with the house. Because I have a son and a daughter left now, and it's going to be their decision, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be an easy one.
Nope. But again, that's an important part outside the emotions and such we talked about is the house. Is if it's properly included in your estate plan and your trust, there's tax avoidance, which is a lot different
yes.
than tax evasion.
Oh, yes.
That's illegal. But if you have things done right, so you know, from bank accounts to maybe a portfolio of stocks and bonds, your house, if that's all in a trust that's owned by the trust and your loved ones of your choice are the executors of that estate, now you're not paying death tax and inheritance tax and, you know, all these other taxes that pound on. So the trust is the entity that owns all your mm-hmm. assets.
That's right.
So, again, tax avoidance is huge as we, you know, protect our nest eggs and we want to maybe perpetuate generational wealth. So, I mean, again, don't plan to fail.
Well, it's interesting because in the mail a couple of weeks ago, I got a form. It was a life insurance that Russ had taken out. And I'm thinking, what? Something else came on?
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
Well, it is.
You now have an island.
But trying to get it implemented, that's the biggest problem. Because, you know, we have to come up with a death certificate and all kinds of paperwork. And because it was in his name.
And you didn't know about it?
I didn't know about it.
Surprise.
This has happened several times since he passed away. That
but fortunately, that's a good surprise.
Yes, it is. Well, I've had several of them. And fortunately, I have a good person next door who is helping me take care of it all.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important point. There's people next door help you take care of it all. When you're talking from a comfort keeper's perspective and all of your staff and everything else, but then you just shared with us some wonderful knowledge that the average senior needs to know
right.
as they plan in the future. So it's I think it's more than just comfort keepers, the in-home care, but it's that knowledge base for seniors charting that path, the assistance that Barbara might need on something totally out of the box, but she still needs assistance.
Right.
So information that you can share as an organization, as a corporation, it's beyond in-home care. Am I right?
Yeah, and my care managers are well-versed in everything I just talked about because it's kind of a whole holistic, if that means all. I don't know. I don't like that word holistic a lot of times. But it's a inclusive approach in that it's just not the home care and the bullet lists of what we have on our brochure.
Right.
But it's everything we just talked about. So when my care managers go in, and even though we're not medical, they're both nurses, so that, you know, because we interface like I talked about.
So the care managers, just to be clear, are another level above your in-home care staff.
Correct.
Right? And they're kind of like social workers in a way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically case managers, if you will. I call them care managers. But, you know, when we have a prospective client call, that, you know, then they do the initial assessment, and they look at the whole picture of everything, again, we just chatted about. Before we put a comfort keeper in place, we've talked about all this other stuff, you know, and it's amazing how much of them, you know, they thank us. And, oh, my God, I had no idea. And then we put a caregiver in place, and then that same care manager oversees the case, make sure the care plan's being followed, you know, make sure the client's happy, the family's happy, the whole nine yards. So it's a very, holistic approach.
It's inclusive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we need to take a break. Yes, we do. We've chatted a long time.
Oh, time flies.
Time flies is right. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Kevin McDowell, CEO of the Santa Clarita Valley Senior Center, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. When I'm 64. Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Kevin McDowell, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. And we're speaking with one of our sponsors, Miles McNamara of Comfort Keepers in Home Care.
Yippee-ki-yay!
Yes. What an incredible conversation we've had.
Yeah,
I try
to bring a little bit of knowledge to the table to help folks. I mean, that's what we're all about.
We certainly are. And, you know, just as we went to break, you were giving us this big umbrella picture of your care managers. I know it's the individualized care plan as the fancy name for it.
Yeah.
Just wrap it up for us in a bundle of what a family gets with that whole package.
Well, every case is different, obviously. You know, when you look at the bullet list of what we provide, a lot of folks appreciate, value, whatever, is companionship. Because our seniors are lonely. So a lot of times our caregivers will come in and just be a companion. Take them to the store, play Yahtzee, whatever. But basically that package includes that everything we talked about, my care managers will address in that initial assessment. And then, you know, once we specifically outline a care plan, which is obviously very different from one to another, and then we have that care plan in our web system that our caregivers have access to. But we're very flexible, too, because it's not like, well, I'm only here to do A, B, and C. If we get there and the client says, hey, today I need D, okay, we'll work that in. You know, So we're very flexible in that it's whatever's needed, but we have the highlights. And then my care managers will circle back and do well checks and talk to the adult children, talk to the client themselves, make sure that, you know, number one, they're happy with the execution of the care plan. Does it need to be adjusted? We reevaluate and adjust it every 3 months, you know, in addition to talking to them at least weekly, if not more. And then, you know, making sure big time. And then, of course, our Comfort Keepers feedback is essential. Mm-hmm. You know, so they'll call and say, you know, I know they didn't tell you, but they really need XYZ too. So then my care manager will follow up with the decision maker, could be the client themselves or whatever. So it's really an ongoing morphing existence, if you will, because our clients' needs will change as they stay with us a long time. You know, folks may or may not have heard of the term respite care, but that's just giving the family caregiver or the spouse a break. It's also a good way to kind of introduce our services to a senior that may or may not be aware of it and push back at the beginning. Then they're like, oh, and then a lot of kind of respite care will grow into a more consistent schedule. And then as their health or whatever deteriorates, then our schedule grows. So it's really a hands-on, ever morphing kind of, you know, relationship that we have with our families and our clients, you know. And it's I run into folks in the community all the time that we help their parents out before they passed, and it's just this sort of bond. It's like running into your old teacher from high school when you're 40. I'll run into folks in the community that, you know, we've helped, and obviously word of mouth is important, so they, you know, we get a lot of former client and current client referrals that, you know, oh gosh, my neighbor's mom needs help too, blah blah blah. So I don't know if I answered the question, but it's sort of an all-inclusive, ongoing, morphing relationship.
That's wonderful. That's what a resource.
And we go to the hospital if need be. A lot of times folks get admitted to the hospital and the decision maker, the adult children, whoever, say, we want you to go sit at the bedside and just make sure they're being well taken care of and looked after, but they're there because, you know, hospitals are busy and they do well checks every hour or two. But having someone right at the bedside with their loved one, and then, of course, coming home from the hospital, we may increase care for a short period of time before it goes back to normal. So no one wants to be readmitted back into the hospital once they get out of the hospital. So, you know, medications, doctor follow-up appointments, all the really integral things that you need to pay attention to prevent readmissions. Hospital loves us too, because if we prevent that readmission, they don't get those Medi-Cal dings, you know, or Medicare dings, because if someone gets readmitted with the same code within 30 days, the hospital pays a price. So anyway, that's sort of the all-inclusive approach we take. We work with our hospital partners, we work with the family, we work with, you know, senior center, social workers, I mean, whoever, you know, is integral in that whole aging in place picture.
That's wonderful.
As long as the elderly person is taken care of.
Yep.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It really is. That's the bottom line.
And also keep in mind as your folks age in place that, you know, we hear the term, I got to close that off. When you childproof your home, there's such a thing as senior proofing your home,
absolutely,
too. Because when seniors start walking with walkers and now you've got throw rugs and nope, those have got to go.
Absolutely.
As they age in place, now maybe safety bar might be installed in the shower. Get rid of, you know, a lot of surface changes, you know, carpet to hardwood or vice versa, but especially throw rugs. Are there cords out and about that the walker's going to get tangled up on? Are there any sharp corners if mom falls? You know, round that off, pad that corner up so she doesn't fall and hit her head. So, again, it's that whole approach that you have to kind of pay attention to.
I have a walker there.
Yeah.
I don't dare go without that walker.
Yeah.
I try and I think,
But doing this for two decades now, and like I said, it's really a growing community, but it's a small community, and just running into folks that we've helped, and it's just that, again, trite, but it, kind of that glow feeling in your chest. You're like, yes, we were there for you.
Wow. That's
nice. We were there for you.
Yeah.
What a nice.